The very first Thanksgiving, you probably know the story better than I do. I base a lot of my history off of watching Charlie Brown. So the very first Thanksgiving, you know, they were out in the, when they were colonizing in Massachusetts and Rhode Island and that area, they had a really nasty year. It was a bad year. And when they had the harvest come in, and it was a bountiful harvest, they wanted to give God thanks. They were Puritans, they were pilgrims, they wanted to give God thanks. And so in 1621 they celebrated what was the first Thanksgiving in, I believe it was in Plymouth. Not too far from there, there's a town called Newport, Rhode Island. In 1671, that's actually when the very first Seventh-day group of Christians founded a church there. 1671, the very first Seventh-day Baptist church was in Newport, Rhode Island. And just about an hour north of there, if you take a car, there's a town called Providence, Rhode Island, which was established in 1636. Now, Providence is an interesting name for a town because the idea of Providence, that God provided for them, that God helped them to establish that town, the providence of God, the provision of God. And what an appropriate topic as we start talking about this in this series. And today I'm beginning a three-part series of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. As we begin the series, talking about providence, God's provision, how important to that it is to us as we talk about Thanksgiving. The Bible teaches, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. But what is our reason? What is our motive? What is our purpose? Why do we give thanks? Well, because of God's providence in our lives. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 103, or follow along. Psalm 103, the first five verses. The psalmist begins with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." He starts out praising God. He starts out giving God all the glory. "Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, all my being, my entire person, my whole soul, everything that's in me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord." The first thing we see here is that our provision comes from God. What we have, the blessings in our lives, comes from God. They are His. He is the source. God is the provider. He is the one that provides for our lives. It says that the benefits belong to Him. These good things, these blessings, these benefits. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." They're His benefits. They come from Him. He's the provider of these great blessings, these benefits in our lives. He is the source of our provision. And He gives as He wills. God is sovereign. God gives as He sees fit in our lives to provide for us. He is sovereign and gives as He sees the need. He provides how He wants to provide. He gives as He wills. Our part, we ask. The Bible says we ask, we seek, we knock. We ask God and seek Him. The Bible says we seek Him and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Our part, we ask, we seek, we knock on those doors. We ask and we seek God for His blessings, His benefits, His provision in our lives. And God is the rewarder. God is the giver. He's the one that gives the good blessings and the benefits into our lives. Amen? Amen. God is the rewarder. When Jesus was teaching His disciples how to pray, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but the example, the model prayer, it says in that prayer, it says, "Give us this daily bread." give us this daily bread. In that prayer, do you all remember that prayer? Give us this daily bread. Right from there, Jesus is teaching his disciples who is the giver of that daily bread. God is the supplier. God is the provider. God is the giver of that daily bread. Our bread, our source, comes from God, according to his word. Today, I want to convince you of God's providence in your life. I want to convince you that God is the provider, his providence in your life. Today's sermon title, God's Providence. When we think about the providence of God, when we think about the provision of God, the first thing that we see as we study our passage and using our passage as a platform here that we launch off of, we see the provision of God's redemption. It talks about that he redeems. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all iniquities, who heals our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. We see the provision of God's redemption. He redeems your life. The idea of redeeming, he purchased you. He paid for you. When you were in your sin, you were sold to that sin, slavery to that sin. But Jesus, by dying on the cross for you and me, purchased us back, redeemed us. Purchased us from that sin by his blood on Calvary. My wife and I, before we moved out here, we were getting into hiking, and I had taken her to REI. One time I went to REI as a president and picked up this backpack. It was a water backpack, really cool backpack. And I had purchased it for her, and she held on to it for a long time. And you know what's interesting about REI? REI is an adventuring outfitter. You're able to go get shoes and backpacks and all sorts of stuff for adventuring. REI has a 100% satisfaction policy. And after a long time, at least a year, my wife decides she's going to take that back and get what she wants. And they took, no questions asked, they redeemed it back. Jesus has a 100% redemption policy. No matter where you are in your sins, he is ready to redeem you, to purchase you back, to redeem you. God forgives. The scripture talks about God forgiving your iniquity. Iniquity means immoral behaviors. Regardless of where you are in your sin, where you were, Jesus forgives you of your immoral behaviors, your iniquities, your sins. God is ready by the blood of Jesus to forgive you of every sin that's in your life. You don't have to hang on to that sin any longer. You don't have to live holding that sin as a burden on your back any longer. Jesus is ready to forgive you of your iniquity, of your sin. He purchased it. He bought it on Calvary by his blood. He heals. The Bible says he heals your diseases, and I believe that Jesus is a healer today, but not only does he heal you of your diseases, he heals your life. When you come to Jesus, when you come to the foot of the cross and you give your life over to him, he begins a process of restoring your life, bringing you that joy and that peace into your heart, restoring and healing your heart, healing your life. God heals. God provided his redemption. It says he crowns you. Your passage says he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Not only did he crown you with that, but the Bible also says he crowns you with life. Jesus paid the price. He redeemed you, and as a result, God is ready to give you life. Not only eternal life right here and now, but one day we will have eternal life with him forever. We will live with him. We have eternal life. He has given you that crown of life. You are a new creation. You are a new creature in Christ. All things are made new. Old things have passed away. Your old man has passed away. All things are made new. You are a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. He purchased you on the cross. Not only that, but you can have a continual relationship with him. He crowns you, he says, with loving kindness and with tender mercies. He forgives you your iniquities. Not only do you receive that redemption on the cross when you accept him as Lord and Savior, not only do you receive what he did for you, but he wants to continually grow in his relationship with you. He wants to know you, continually pouring out his tender mercies, but continually pouring out his loving kindness in your life. He wants to love you and know your love in return. God is the provider, and he provided redemption. Number two, he provided the provision of sustenance. The provision of sustenance. In the Lord's Prayer, we read, "Give us this day our daily bread." He teaches his disciples to pray for their needs. God wants to supply and meet your need. We pray for those needs. We pray for those needs that are in our life. We daily, it says, our daily bread. We daily trust God, daily, to meet our needs. Put in our faith. Put in our trust in him every single day. It is a daily walk with God, a daily trusting in God. God supplying in your life every single day. Some days you don't know where that supply is coming from. Daily we trust in God. Give us this day our daily bread. And God, your Bible says, God satisfies your mouth with good things. Not just the very base needs. Not just what you need to scrape by. He says good things. Good things. God wants to bless you, not just with the cheap Walmart brand, but with beautiful blessings in your life. Good things in your life. I joke about that. I like Walmart. They sell really cheap pants there. Amen. Good things in your life. Not satisfied to give you just the bottom of the barrel, but God wants to bless you with good things. Satisfies your mouth with good things. It's not always how we expect it, though. Maybe not even what we expect it. When we ask God to meet the needs in our lives, when we're praying for our daily needs and God providing. You know, I knew a family. There was a girl whose family, I'm not going to say her name, but her family was struggling. They were scraping to get by. And one time they couldn't even buy groceries, and so they prayed about it. They asked God to meet their needs, and you know, I don't know the timeline, but pretty soon somebody's knocking on the door feeling led by God to provide groceries. That's absolutely incredible, God supplying like that. Our very needs that God provides and leads others to provide. I know in my life, whenever I needed jobs, I would pray about it, and it seemed like I would have jobs pretty quick, like within the day or the week, you know, somehow I found a job, and I praise God. I give all the glory to God for it, because here's this need that was in my life, and I trusted him, and my need was supplied. But it doesn't always work out the way, God doesn't always provide the way that we think that he should supply. I know that when I was in college, and I was before I even went to college, I didn't know how I was going to even go to college. I didn't have the money to go to college, and I didn't know much about scholarships and grants and all of that, and so I kept praying about it, and lo and behold, I got a Pell Grant, which back then was a big blessing in my life. I was praising God because he met this need in my life, and looking back, I don't know if Pell Grants were the great blessing, but back then it was this incredible blessing. I was able to go to college. You know, maybe it wasn't somebody dropping a bunch of money in my lap, but here's this blessing. I was able to go to school. But it doesn't always work out the way that we think it should work out. Abraham Lincoln had a business. He had a partner, and their business was struggling. And so finally, they're ready to throw the towel in on their business. Ready to sell their company. He figured if they sold their company, they could use the profits to pay off their debts, and whatever was left over, Abraham Lincoln was thinking, well, I could use that money to buy this book. The book was called Blackstone's Commentary on English Law, and with that, he could study law and become a lawyer. That was the direction. He said, you know, this business is struggling, is failing. This is the direction I think I can go. And so, before they even had a chance to sell the business, this couple came along. They were moving out of town, and they were struggling too. And so this man asks Lincoln, I have this barrel. I'm willing to sell it to you for 50 cents just so that we could have some money to move out of town. And Abraham walks around and sees the wife, and the wife gives him a sorrowful look. And so he says, okay, I've got my last 50 cents here. I will buy this barrel from you. And the barrel sat on the porch in front of their business for a while. His friend, his partner, would criticize him about it, kind of laugh at him about it, deride him. One day, Abraham Lincoln was walking along, and he noticed some papers in that barrel. And he looks down, and he grabs out what was the Blackstone Commentary on English Law book that somehow got into that barrel. And he knew, Abraham just knew, God had bigger things for him. Interesting how God can supply. It's not always how we think God's going to supply. My wife had a similar experience, and she almost didn't want me to share this story, but my wife had a similar experience where she was wanting this book. The book was called Treasury for Children, and it was really expensive at the time, and we didn't want to spend the money to buy this particular book. And so one day she said, you know what, God is going to provide this book for me. And we go to this Goodwill, and it's not one of those Goodwills where you had books on the shelves. It's one of those where you had the bins, and you had to fish through the bins. It had clothes and books and everything mingled together in these bins. And so she sticks her hand in that bin, and according to her, she didn't even fish around for it. She grabs, and out is this Treasury for Children book. We believe that that was a blessing from God. We praise God for that. God supplies. We don't always know how He's going to supply, why He's going to, you know, we don't always know how this is going to work out, if it's going to work out the way we envision or not, but God provides. He brings the provision of sustenance in our life. And for what purpose? Well, I see three purposes right off. Number one, it's for His glory. It's so that He can get the praise, so that He can be worshipped. He is God. He deserves all glory and praise and worship. Why does He provide in our lives? Because He loves to be worshipped by us. He loves the glory. Number two, it's because of hospitality. As God provides in our lives, we in turn can provide to someone else. We can be hospitable to someone else. We can meet someone else's need. God gives to us and blesses us, and in turn, we can bless someone else and be a blessing. He provides for hospitality. Number three, His Word. God is absolutely faithful to His Word. God is faithful to His Word. If He said it, He believes it, and He'll do it. He provides because He said He would. Because He said He would meet our needs, God meets our needs for His glory and for His Word and for hospitality. Amen? God brought the provision of redemption. He brought the provision of sustenance. Number three, He brought the provision of His Word, the provision of God's Word. In the book of Revelations, God told John to eat a scroll. It was a scroll that had, he gave this little scroll and says, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. So he took and he ate that scroll and immediately turned his stomach sour, tasted as sweet as honey. And he says this, God says to him, you must prophesy again about many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. You see, God's Word, we, like John, need to be eating that Word, getting that Word in us, just like John, consuming, having a hunger and thirst for His Word. What did John eat? John ate the Word, essentially. He prophesied. God's Word says, study to show yourselves approved. Study to show yourselves approved of workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God calls us to study His Word. Study to show yourself approved. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. God's expectation is for us to be studying His Word, reading His Word, being devoted, having devotions in His Word, studying Scriptures, dissecting it. What do the words mean? What does the grammar mean? What does God mean by it? What does it mean to us? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to your context? Eating and studying and just being in His Word. Rightly being able to divide the Word of truth. Being in His Word. God reveals Himself in the Word. How do we get to know God? Well, we get to know God as we study in His Word. We see who God is and what He says for our lives. And we know God by the study and by the reading of His Word. We get to know Him. Not only do we get to know Him through His Word, but as we study His Word, as we're in the Scriptures, a lot of times God will reveal Himself to us. We'll be reading the Bible. And then suddenly God will bring something to our mind. Something will make sense. God will reveal Himself. We encounter God as we study His Word together. God reveals Himself in His Word. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 11, he says, "Your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." You have it in the NASB up there. "Your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." We have to get God's Word in us. We have to have it in our heart. We need to read it, study it, devour it, memorize it. Get it on the inside of us that we might be able to walk that straight and narrow road. God's Word do we hide in our heart that we can stay on that narrow path. Stay on that narrow road, not get off onto the wide and broad road. But stay on that narrow road. We study His Word that we might not sin against Him. Excuse me. Something got up in there. It's not going away either. Oh, man. I might have to preach like this. I'll just preach louder is all. Let's kill the voice while we're at it. Amen. Amen. We hide that Word in our heart. His Word says in a few verses later, in verse 105, His Word, it says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We get His Word in us. We read. We study His Bible. We study the Bible and we get His Word in us, and it is a light unto our feet. It guides our way. We're able to live by it. We're able to study it. Boy, it is gone. "Your Word have I hid in my heart." We apply it by faith. As we study God's Word, as we read His Word, we can begin to apply it by faith into our lives. I want to show you four different scriptures that you can apply in your life. God provided His Word. He put His Word in our mouths. He gave us something here. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 11, talks about the ant. And it begins with this. He says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." He encourages us to look at the ant and see how the ant works so hard. He says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, having no guide, overseer, or ruler. Provides her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you rise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So will your poverty come upon you by a stalker, like a stalker, not by a stalker, like a stalker, and your need as an armed man." Those little slips of the tongue make all the world a difference, don't they? That's a guarantee to us. You begin to live like a sluggard, like the slothful, you're going to end up in poverty, end up in want. But he says, go to the ant. Here's something we can apply in our lives. Get up. Work hard. Work hard. He says, consider ways, and what does he say? Be wise. You follow after that. You're a wise person. Here's another one. Psalm 1:1. Another one you can apply in your life. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. I get in trouble for this one because I believe it's true. So many people want to argue with me about this one. I believe it's true, and that might put me in a bad, I might get in trouble with you with this one too. But I don't think it's, I think as Christians, we can share the good news with the lost. We can share the good news. We can get to know the lost and share the gospel with them and be light and be salt. But you start making them your best friend, there's a problem there. It says, especially if you start considering their counsel. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners. You can apply that very easily. Here's another one. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. The verse goes on to say something about you'll be blessed. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruit of your increase. God has given so many blessings to you, and He just asks that you give back. We give tithes. We give offerings. What an easy, simple thing we can just apply. God calls us to do it. One more I want to look at here. Proverbs 3, I guess that was the fourth one. No, Proverbs 3:5. I'm sorry, I skipped past that one. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. You're going through rough times. You're going through some situations. You pray and you believe God and you trust it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own thoughts, your own understanding, your own thinking about that situation. You start to fret, you start to fear. God says, trust in the Lord, lean not unto your own understanding. Simple, simple things we can just apply. God has provided us His Word. Amen? Number four, the provision of wise words. God has given us His words. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 through 20, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He's talking about how one day, someday, they're going to have to face a trial. They're going to go to court. And when they do, He says, don't give any thought. He says, when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what you will speak, for it will be given to you at that time what you will speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks through you. What an incredible idea that when we are facing a trial, a court, that we don't have to fear about it because God is there with us, that He is able to speak. The Spirit of the Father speaks through us. But I apply that beyond that. I say in your life, God can speak through you. As you are having opportunity, as you are mentoring somebody, and that person is going through some hard times in their home. Their families are struggling. Their parents are getting, whatever the case is, God can give you the words to speak to that person if you trust Him. When you're counseling a friend and the friend is going through marital troubles and or going through a divorce or what financial struggles, and God can give you, if you trust God, He can give you the words to say to that person. If you are dealing with holidays and your families believe in Halloween, believe in Christmas, believe in Easter, maybe you don't, and they don't know why, you can trust God. And God will give you the wisdom and the words on how to talk to them and how to use that as a positive conversation to share the good news with them. The Bible talks about the word of wisdom. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about the word of wisdom, this supernatural, this spiritual, they call them the gifts of the Spirit, revelation of the mind and purpose of God revealed by His Spirit. God can give you wisdom in the right moment. You know, there was a time, I was quite a bit younger, and I was in a youth group. It was at New Life Christian Fellowship, a Sabbath-keeping church in Washington. I was in the youth group, and some of the kids were struggling through some things, and we prayed, and suddenly God started giving me wisdom, stuff to share with these kids. And I say it's all God because I was still young. I didn't know better. But yet I was speaking wisdom to them, and the adults there were even listening. It was amazing, an amazing thing that God used me in. God can give us wisdom, the right words at the right time, be able to speak that wisdom to each other, be able to share that wisdom with each other. Going through a situation, you don't know what to do, and you pray, and God can give you the wisdom at the right time. God will fill your mouth. God will fill your mouth. God was speaking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. And God touches Jeremiah's mouth, and God says to him, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. Now I have put my words in your mouth." God gives the provision of wise words. God gives the provision of His wisdom in our lives. And we see in our chapter here today in Psalm 103 that He will satisfy your mouth with good things. So many ways that God can touch your mouth, pour His wisdom into your life, pour His word into your heart, take care of your needs. God satisfies your mouth with good things. Amen? Amen. In 1 Thessalonians it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything give thanks. Not always the easiest thing to do. If you're going through a hard time, God says, "In everything give thanks." If you're struggling with your finances, God says, "In everything give thanks." It's easy in the good times, when you're blessed, when you wake up feeling good. In everything give thanks. What an incredible scripture. In everything, give thanks. Don Moen, he sings a song called "Give Thanks." Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. God has given us so much. God has provided so much given into our lives. And yet the greatest gift that God gave us was sending Jesus Christ. Born of a Virgin Mary, lived the perfect life, died for you and me on the cross, shedding that blood for our sins. The greatest gift that He gave us. The greatest provision in our lives. Let's give God thanks. Let's give God thanks.